I've entitled this, "It's Not About Me." I should perhaps explain. I often take my titles from a portion of the verse or something like that. The text is Ephesians 4:31. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Nothing about there. It's not about me. But in that time that I was trying to learn self-control and finding that it was submission, that it was yielding to the control of the Holy Spirit, I wasn't listening for voices. I wasn't listening for clouds parting and ray of light coming down upon me and visions. And how would the Holy Spirit speak to me? And I found that God marked in this passage things that would occur to me to do, to think, that were wrong. And he was saying, stop doing that. Put that off. There is a new man for you to put on. And so this title became my phrase. As I found myself getting angry and allowing that to turn to bitterness. Wrath was the inward part of anger, and anger was the outward expression of it. Turn to bitterness. And clamor is just loud talking and, you know, the shouting down each other. Evil speaking, this is blasphemy, but blasphemy against men. And he says, you see that in you. Now put it away from you with all malice, all desire for wickedness to happen to that person. That's why you're angry, right? You're angry. They're doing something to you. You want something bad to happen to them. He says, don't go there. And the key word here was, this isn't about you. Stop getting personally offended. It's not about you. It's about God, and it's about them. Changes my whole attitude. Anger is a bad thing. It is the leading cause of stress, family strife, physical ailments, and a continual turning away from God's way. So, what is it about? Well, it's about service and about Christian growth. So my message is this: let us resolve to deal with our anger biblically. See, our first response is, I can't help it if I get angry. I suppose not, but there are things that you may understand about it, things that you may do about it, and we'll save to the end the practical ways of dealing with it. So what help does the Scripture give? Well, the Bible gives us some plain steps of action to defeat anger. And I want to share with you, first of all, seven preliminary cautions. Now, seven, it's a lot, but I don't have to go through this much. I'm just going to announce what it's talking about and then show you the verse. Here's what we, preliminary caution. Anger causes us to act foolishly. Is that what you want? You know? I've always had this problem of when I was angry, coming up with a clever way of speaking, you know. So when I was angry and trying to talk to somebody, I ended up going, well, that was pretty foolish. Really, really impressive and intimidating. Yeah. So I learned early to shut my mouth and just steam a little bit. Proverbs 14:17. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. You're going to do the wrong thing. You're going to do the stupid thing. A man of wicked devices is hated. Secondly, anger makes us a poor friend. Proverbs 22:24 cautions us, make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man thou shalt not go. This is dating advice, by the way. Don't go with an angry, furious person. They're going to be foolish and they're going to hurt you. Again, anger is linked to a backbiting tongue. I kind of enjoyed studying this verse because the King James margin gives us a very different interpretation. I think both are true. But Proverbs 25:23. The north wind driveth away rain, the north wind blowing the wind away, so doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. The picture there is that the person has a backbiting tongue, and you just look angry at them, and then they stop. But the alternate reading is, the north wind bringeth forth rain. It didn't drive it away, it brought it forth, and the angry, the backbiting tongue brings an angry countenance. You're causing the anger by, understand backbiting, talking about somebody behind their back, biting them in the back. So, one way or the other, the two are linked. Gossip and anger. And then, fourth, anger spills over into other areas. This is a seed that grows. This is not something that is just by itself. Proverbs 27:4. Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. The literal Hebrew here, according to the King James margin, wrath is cruelty. I don't want to be cruel. I don't want to be known for my cruelty. Wrath, that inward feeling, is cruelty, and anger, an overflowing. Outrageous is overflowing. It spills over. And who is able to stand before envy or jealousy? These things, I'm angry because I want what you have. Hard to get along with people like that. And obviously, anger stirs up fights. Proverbs 29:22. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. Number six, anger brings us under God's judgment. It's not just the practical problems of this. Listen to what Christ says. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause, and this is the idea of being soon angry, shall be in danger of the judgment. Then other forms of anger. Whosoever shall say to his brother Raca, that is vain fellow, fool, shall be in danger of the council. Whosoever shall say thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. This isn't progressive. This isn't three steps of giving into this. It's just altogether the concept that you give in to anger, you have gone the wrong direction. What comes out of your mouth with anger? Name-calling? This is what Paul said in Ephesians, was corrupt communication, rotten stuff. You're spewing rotten stuff to people. He says, instead, give them something to help them grow, that it might minister grace. You say, well, I had a cause to be angry. Well, then help them fix it. What an idea. It's not you throwing a tantrum about what they did, said, or didn't do. This is God tapping you on the shoulder saying, how can you help them? And then here's that caution. Number seven, anger is fleshly, not spiritual. Just mark it down. Galatians 5:19-20. Now the works of the flesh, these are the things that we're trying to get rid of. What are they? They're manifest. Here's how you see them. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. You say, well, I don't do that. Keep going. Hatred. Oops. Variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Heresies is divisions. God says it's all in the same cesspool. It's all part of that garbage of what your life was like, alienated from God's life. The life of decay, of corruption. Well, I call these the preliminary cautions. He gets more pointed. So secondly, seven pointed commandments. Cease outward anger and forsake inward wrath. Don't let it develop inside so that it pops out of your mouth. Psalm 37:8, cease from anger, pointed commandment. Forsake wrath. Leave it alone. Walk away from it. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Fret is that worry that, what am I going to do? I know what I'll do. I'll get back at him. Stop it. Pointed commandment. Secondly, anger characterizes foolishness. Ecclesiastes 7:9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. Why not? For anger resteth in the bosom of fools. That's the way a fool will deal with this. You have more resources than that. Don't do it. Don't be hasty to be angry. Don't fall into that. Third, anger is a juvenile vanity. You should have grown out of this by now. Ecclesiastes 11:10. Wherefore remove sorrow, and this is the word that can mean anger, from thy heart. Remove it from your heart. Don't nurture it, feed it, coddle it, and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. He says, you see it in the children. You see it in the toddlers. You see it in my toy. Let me have it, you know. Stop acting like that. Just stop it. Juvenile. Fourth, anger leads to vengeance, which we have no right to do. Romans 12:19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Don't take the vengeance on yourself. Whose job is it? Rather give place unto wrath. Leave room for it. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Let him handle that. Give him room to take care of it. Number five, put off the sinful acts of anger and wrath. Two verses here, parallel verses. Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, what? Be put away from you. See? Put it away. Set it aside with all malice. Colossians 3:8. But now ye also put off all these. Anger, number one. Wrath, the thing that feeds anger. Malice, hatred, feeds wrath. Blasphemy, that's the speaking ill of others. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Filthy communication. What he calls rotten communication in Ephesians is filthy communication. It's coming from that cesspool that I mentioned, you know, it's coming out of your mouth. Pretty bad breath, you know. Again, pray without wrath. Pray without wrath. 1 Timothy 2:8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. And what's the definition of that? Without wrath and doubting. You're not fit to pray when you're angry. That's what God says. I'm picking on you, yes, but that's what God says. And number 7, don't choose a pastor who tends to anger. This is important enough. You don't want to have a leadership in the church with an angry man. Titus 1:7, for a bishop, an overseer, a pastor, must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, I want what I want, not soon angry. This is a word for anger that just means tending to anger. Not given to wine. That would be a bad thing. No striker. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to punch you. Not given to filthy lucre. Not given to the filth of gaining money. How much of that is there in the religious game today? All right, let me leave 7 alone for a little bit. Let me take you to 4 pictures of change. I want you to see change. From what we are naturally to what we ought to be. Angry to not angry. What does that look like? Well, first, becoming slow to anger calms strife. I hate being in the middle of a strife situation, fighting, talking, you know, loud talking to one another and all this stuff. I always hate that. Just upsets me. Well, here's the way out of it. Becoming slow to anger calms strife. Proverbs 15:18, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Calms it down. I've mentioned before, but I went to the magician's luncheon. Wednesdays when I'm not teaching, I go to visit with the performing magicians that gather together for a lunch. And one day I was coming in as one man was leaving the table and saying, "Boy, you got here just in time." I said, "Why is that?" And he says, your friend over here is on a tirade. The table was left in strife, and he was counting on me to appease the strife. Well, I was glad for that vote of confidence. And in fact, my presence did seem to throw cold water on that hot debate. Secondly, mastering anger shows strength. You know, we've almost got the idea that the strong man is the tough guy. You dare not look cross at him. He'll grab you up and throw you around. The real strength? Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. The warrior who conquered the city. Strength isn't shown in you throwing a tantrum. Strength is you departing. The wrath might well up. The anger might be on the tip of your tongue. Strength holds it there. Lets it dispel. Here's a concept of change. Defer your anger. I'm angry. Put it off. Let it go. Save it for tomorrow. Visit again tomorrow. See what you think of it. Proverbs 19:11. The discretion or prudence of a man deferreth his anger. It is his glory to pass over a transgression. But he did wrong. Yes, he did. See if you can help him out of it. Just leave off the anger part. Set that aside for later. You can get back to that later. I love that idea. I'm angry that they did that. Okay, well, don't act on that anger till, let's say, sometime next week. Put it off. Defer it. And then number 4, a picture of change. Recognize the emptiness of human wrath. See, here's the question. What good is this going to do? what will be the result? In the hot new book, Dragon Soul, Alicia finds she has magic. The problem is anger. And her anger unleashes terrible things. My friend, so does it with you. James 1:19-20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Pick up the hearing, slow down on the speaking back and getting angry. Why? For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. I said this to an old friend of mine who was quick to anger, part of his temperament. I said, let me settle once and for all this concept. If you are a man of God and trying to act as a man of God, the anger will never get you there. Because the wrath of man absolutely worketh not the righteousness of God. I am deeply disturbed by reading about the old-fashioned preachers who said you have to get in a fight to make these things work. One man said, if you can't fight anything else, preach against Hershey bars. Get in a fight about Hershey bars. What are you trying to accomplish? Evidently not the righteousness of God. Get people stirred up and angry. Four pictures of change. Let us turn our eyes upward. And let me give you six examples of our Father, God. Why would I do this? Because Matthew 5:48. Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect. There's a standard for you. Well, he just means, no, here's what he means. Even as your Father, which in heaven is perfect. Take your cue from him. You have been adopted as a Christian. You've been adopted into his family. Act like him. Be a chip off that old block. Don't let that nut be too far from the tree. Act like your Father. Six examples of our Father God. Notice the characteristics here. Nehemiah 9:17. And talking about what the people did. And refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders, he's praying to God, that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, that stiff neck rebellion, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage, but thou art a God ready to pardon. Thou art a God of pardons, gracious and merciful. And notice this, slow to anger. If he can avoid it, he will. And of great kindness, and forsookest them not. In the midst of their rebellion, slow to anger, he didn't forsake them. He's done that with us, hasn't he? Ought we not to do it to others? Be like our Father? Second example, Psalm 103:8. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Mercy means you don't give them what they deserve. Gracious means that you give them what they don't deserve. You give them blessings they don't deserve. He is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy, great in mercy. A third one, Psalm 145:8. The Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, of great mercy. Joel 2:13. Rend your heart, not your garments. I'm not after more rituals. I'm after a heart thing. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, repenteth him of the evil. See, this is the counsel to the prodigal son, isn't it? But I have ruined everything. You haven't ruined your relationship with your Father. You have defied him. You've mocked him. You've thrown his morality in his face. But he's still your father. And he's slow to anger. He will welcome you. Jonah 4:2. He says, "Oh, I knew it. I preached to Nineveh and you're going to forgive them." Ugh. He prayed unto the Lord and said, "I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Didn't I tell you this is what you would do? I don't want to go preach to them. I want them punished. They're horrible people. I go preach to them. They're going to, you know, they show a slight bit of repentance. You're going to forgive them. Didn't I tell you this when I was in my country? Therefore, I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil." God says, "I'd rather not hurt them. But in their sin, as they hurt others, I must stop them." See if we can change them. That's God's attitude. Let's give them another chance. Nahum 1:3. "The Lord is slow to anger and great in power." How happy are we that he was slow to anger? The power that he has. "And will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet." He can send a storm and wipe out everything that you have. But take hope, he's slow to anger. Make your settlement with God. Let me close with this. 5 keys to the proper concept. How do we get ourselves where we can say, okay, it's not about me. I've got to stop this turning to anger. Let's look at the relationship between anger and godliness. Because we're going to find some interesting things here. First of all, understand what sin really is. The person who made you angry probably did a sin that bothered you, perhaps directly, perhaps with somebody that you love. Understand what that sin is. What is it really? The answer is, sin offends God and hurts yourself and others. Your anger is also a sin that offends God, hurts others, and hurts yourself. It's like stabbing yourself with a little fork or something. "I'll get them. I'm going to stab myself with a fork." Well, that's not very smart. That's kind of foolish. Maybe juvenile. Oh, yeah, that's what he said, wasn't it? Listen to the heart of God. After he gave the Ten Commandments a second time in Deuteronomy 5:29, he says kind of personally to Moses, "Oh, that there was such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always." Why? Why does God want them to keep his commandments? "That it might be well with them and with their children forever." You see what the commandments do? What the commandments are urging? Stop hurting yourself and others. That's an offense to me. So our passage, Ephesians 4, verse 26 says, "Be ye angry." Hold on. I thought all of this was about not getting angry. No, he says, "I gave you anger for a reason. Be ye angry and sin not." Okay, there's an anger that's not sinful. "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." This is where you lay down seething, you know. Let it fester, let it grow. Understand what sin is. Be angry with sin. God wants to save the sinner, but he is always angry against sin. Do you see the compassion for the person and the contempt for the action? Our loving, protective Father is angry at sin. Psalm 7:11, God judgeth the righteous. And another way of reading this would be, God is a righteous judge. He weighs these things perfectly. And God is angry with the wicked every day. These words, with the wicked, are in italics. The idea behind this, and in fact, there are two ways to translate it, I found out, depending on how you take the idea. One translation actually says, God is not always angry. He doesn't continue to be angry. The other is, God is continually angry, and that's the idea here. But I think the translation gave away the thinking of the translator more than the heart of God. He's the righteous God, and he judges righteously. What is he angry with? What hurts people and others? That's why he wanted them to obey the commandments, so it would be well with them. So be angry with what? The wrong done. Be angry with the sin. Our Savior was angry at sin. A person came to him that needed healing, but it was the Sabbath. And he says, you people will pull your donkey out of a ditch on the Sabbath because his life is in the balance. But you're questioning whether I should heal this man on the Sabbath? Anger came. Mark 3:5, when he had looked around upon them with anger, Christ with anger, being grieved for the hardness or the blindness, the callousness, the hardening of their hearts. He just turns from them. He turns to this needy man. He saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. He says, you would keep me from helping this man. That made him angry. This is the anger that we should have against the wrong. So I think we can summarize this with this phrase: focus on the problem, not the person. Can you see the distinction? Can you see that the person themselves are trapped in the wrongdoing? Whatever it is, they thought that was the thing to do. Listen to Psalm 97:10. Ye that love the Lord hate people. It doesn't say that. You love the Lord, that's a person, hate evil. Hate this horrible thing that destroys lives, hurts people. He preserveth the souls of the saints. You see, for the people, he wants the best. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. The people he cares for. The problem he hates. Two, three, four, five. I have four. Must have stopped at four. I guess that settles it. Do I have anything else on this? I don't have any more money in notes. All right. Miscounted. Sorry. Four keys to proper concept. Let's look at a pretty picture. The idea here is then, it's not about you. There is a problem. We can be angry that such a problem came about. But stop taking it personally. This isn't about you. This is about them. This is about seeing if your connection to that person with being slow to anger, being forgiving, in fact being helpful, might make a change in that person's life. This is what we're called to do. Put away the hatred, unthinking hatred. Put away the wrath that builds to an anger that speaks out with corrupt communication. Go a different direction. Find out how you can speak words that minister grace to the hearer. What do they need? Condemnation. They need help. They need to understand. Let's pray. Father, you give to us a challenge with our very heart and soul and life. We are people that often are prone to quick anger, and you are not, and you want us to become like you. You want us, like Christ, to be angry with the sin, but loving for the person. For after Christ was angry with these people, he still died for them. Father, help us to see the truth. You gave us anger that we might be angry against the harm that people do to themselves and others through sin. They think it's liberty. They think it's okay. You have shown us that you know better. Your commandments show us the way that will be well with them and their children forever. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I wonder if you would say, Pastor, just between you, me, and God, have a problem with this anger thing. It's not that I have a problem with anger coming, it's that I let it slip right out of my mouth and I say the things that make me feel and seem foolish and juvenile, and I hurt other people with it. And I ruin the opportunity to minister grace with my words. I wish I had that opportunity to help the person, but I ruined it with my outburst of anger. If your prayer today is, I need to change to be more like Christ, to be that quiet spirit that allows the dove of the Holy Spirit to come and land upon me in all quietness, then would you slip your hand up, say, pray for me. This is where I need to be. This is what I need to be. This is who I need to be. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? Yes, amen. Quick to anger. Quick to speak. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to examine our hearts in such a way that we find few of us are without guilt. And I ask that you might especially be with these who raise the hand and acknowledge that there is a need for us to learn of thee, to distinguish between the person and the problem, and see that the person has a problem. And by that person offending us, we have been given the opportunity to speak to them words of healing, words of instruction, to be a forgiving friend who says, you're not happy, your heart is torn, but I know a God who can help. I thank you, Father, for giving us a standard higher than our own, a standard that we need to change into, which is the very image of Christ. So we pray thy blessing upon us in Jesus' name. Amen.